Great. Well, brilliant job on the reading, Tim. Lots of tricky names there. That's very good. Lots of fortune artists and Achaicuses and things like that. But I wonder what your aim is in life. How's that for small talk? Not the kind of question that you normally start a conversation with, is it? But it's an important one, and it's something that we all will have an answer to. What is your aim in life? I wonder what those around us would say. Perhaps Pathfinder Age. So those around us might be saying things like popularity, people thinking well of us, maybe getting that boy or girl, maybe winning the sports match, getting the right exam results, all those kind of things might be the kind of things that drive people, that we're aiming towards. Perhaps if we're a little bit older, it might be more like the salary that we're looking at, or perhaps getting a good house, getting our kids into a good school, nice area. What is our aim in life? Of course, none of those things that I mentioned are bad things, but if those things are driving us, if they're the aim of our life, then we're kind of saying it's me at the center. I'm living life for me. And if you're sitting here today and you're a Christian, you probably realize that the Bible has something to say about this. Well, it does. And it's our verse from last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you have a look down at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, Paul gives us the aim in life for the Christian. He says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." What's the aim in life for a Christian, someone who follows Jesus? Well, it's the work of the Lord, giving ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. That means that great work of making Jesus known. So it means that our life is no longer lived for me, it's lived for Jesus. I wonder if you notice in the passage all those examples of people working hard with the work of the Lord. So you have a look down at verse 8 and 9 and you see Paul. He says, "I'll stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened to me and there are many who oppose me." Not just Paul, it's Timothy as well. Have a look down at verse 10. "If Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he's with you. Why? For he is carrying on the work of the Lord, just as I am." I see it with Apollos, verse 12. "Now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity." Why? Because he's giving himself to the work of the Lord. He's got a full diary, rampacked, telling people about Jesus. We see it in Stephanus, verse 15. "You know, the household of Stephanus were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints, the work of the Lord." And actually, that makes sense if we think about what we've been hearing the last few weeks. Do you remember Paul said, "If we don't believe in the resurrection, well, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Life is just now. We get what we can, and then we die." There's a famous Xbox slogan. I don't know if you knew it. I think it was a few years ago. It was, "Life is short, play more." You get the idea. Life is short, you've only got so many hours in your life, so why not just kind of use a few more of them doing things for me? But Paul says that is not the way that people who follow Jesus are to live. He says if the resurrection is true, then life isn't like that. Life isn't just the here and now. The work of the Lord, that great work of making Jesus known, that is going to last into eternity. Well, we might think, you know, got to the end of our 1 Corinthians 15 sermons. We think, great, Paul, brilliant sermon. I agree. Let's give ourselves to the work of the Lord. Now let's head outside and play football on the decking or whatever it is. But now, I wonder if you notice that Paul gets really practical. Paul's got two key areas that he wants us to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And I wonder if everyone could put their hands in their pockets and bring out whatever you've got in your pocket. So you don't have to bring everything out, just a couple of things. I don't want kind of loose change spilling all over the floor, but just a couple of things and see what you got. Some of you got empty pockets? Okay. Well, why don't we hold up what we got? Yeah, okay. So I can see some phones, definitely. Yeah, some keys. Yeah, there are one or two wallets there, some money. Yeah, okay. Well, phone and wallet are the two areas that God really wants us to prioritize the work of the Lord. So God wants us to prioritize the work of the Lord with our wallets. We're going to see that. And he wants us to prioritize the work of the Lord with our relationships. I guess phones are all about relationships, you know, calling, texting, WhatsApp, social media. God is going to show us how we can prioritize that great work of making Jesus known with our wallets and with our relationships in church. So first up, we've got prioritizing the work of the Lord with our money, with our wallets. I wonder if you noticed in chapter 16 what Paul moves to. So chapter 15, verse 58, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now about the collection for God's people, you spot the change of tone. He wants us to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, but he gives us this practical way that we can do that. So in other words, if we're prioritizing the work of the Lord, if that is what we're living for, then it's going to change what we do with this. How? Well, have a look down at verse 2. Paul says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. What he's basically saying is, Corinthians, you want to get signed up on the online giving scheme. Put aside a certain amount every week and give it to the work of the Lord. And actually, specifically, we learn that this gift was for poor Christians in Jerusalem. So Paul wanted the poor Christians in Jerusalem to say, isn't Jesus amazing? He's provided for us through these other Christians, the other side of the world. They've given their money generously, so we can see that Jesus is amazing. Giving to this collection meant getting behind the work of the Lord. What might that look like for us? I guess a couple of ways. Great to think about charities. Think about charities like Compassion and Tear Fund. I don't know if you guys have thought of ones like that. Good to think on the other side of the world, less privileged Christians that we can give our money to. And actually also, I wonder if there are people around us, perhaps we notice in our church family, people who are in some particular need. Great to keep a lookout for practical ways we can meet the need of our church family. Imagine a non-Christian, you know, has a look at the bank statements for a Christian, so they're a little bit sad, and they're looking down the bank statements, and they see these transactions to other poor Christians. And they say, wow, isn't Jesus amazing? He provides for his people. Look at how these Christians look after each other. Makes Jesus known. It's part of that work of the Lord. And that's not all. Paul's got another way. You see what it is in verse 5 and 6? It says, after I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while or even spend the winter so that you can, here it is, help me on my journey wherever I go. So it might sound like a little bit kind of a polite way of saying it for us, but actually the word just means helping him practically, giving him some money and food and provisions. It's talking about supporting gospel workers with their money. And Paul's not coming yet. If you have a look down at verse 11, or verse 10. If Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he's with you, for he's carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should refuse to accept him. Send him on his way in peace. Same thing. Send him on his way. Sounds a bit polite to us. He just means give Timothy some money. Help him. Support that gospel work. Well, what about us? How's the gospel going to get out in Maidenhead? I wonder who it is that you see day by day. People that you rub shoulders with, people that you see perhaps in the office at work, people maybe you run around with in the playground. Lots and lots of people that we see every single day who have no idea who Jesus is. I wonder if you've ever thought about how it is. It seems like a massive task, doesn't it? How are they going to hear about Jesus? When I commute to London, I see crowds and crowds of people getting onto the train, doing things with their phones, kind of checking emails, maybe reading the paper. They've no idea who Jesus is. Well, what do we need? We need gospel workers who are giving themselves to that work of the Lord, to making Jesus known, that work that lasts into eternity. And actually, we're not primarily going to be supporting people who are going to be kind of going and doing all the work for us, kind of saying, hey, you know, Dave and others, why don't you go and tell everyone in Maidenhead about Jesus. Actually, what church leaders do is they train and enable everyone else to go and tell others about Jesus. That is what we're aiming to do at St. Mary's. Of course, it's not free. It takes money and resources from generous people to support the work of the Lord, making Jesus known. So perhaps if there are some of us here who would say that we're committed to St. Mary's, perhaps we haven't yet got round to signing up on some kind of regular way of giving, well, today's the day. Let's give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord with our wallets. You can email Jane Thrift or someone else at the office or chat to Dave or anyone else who'll be able to put you in touch with the right person. Get signed up on that scheme, giving ourselves to the work of the Lord. Perhaps you know others, maybe friends of ours who are doing gospel work as well. Maybe we could support them. Maybe there are St. Mary's mission partners, people that we could support who are telling people about Jesus. See, this, it's not about me anymore. It's about Jesus and making him known. And actually, I wonder if you spotted that Paul was worried about the Corinthians. Do you see in verse 10? It's hidden away there a little bit. But Paul says, if Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he's with you. And again in verse 11, no one then should refuse to accept him. Why did Paul have to say that? Well, if you've been listening the last few weeks, you'll know that the Corinthians were divisive. They were proud. They didn't like Paul, and they were too interested in playing power politics and kind of trying to get one up on Paul and dissing him to be getting behind the work of the Lord. But what about us? What are we going to prioritize spending our money on? Perhaps we prioritize maybe the latest games console, the latest outfit, a house extension, expensive holiday. None of these things are wrong. We're free, of course, to enjoy God's good gifts. But it's good to ask ourselves, am I prioritizing God's work with my money, or am I prioritizing me and my comfort? And guys, we don't think that we're too young to do this. It's great. You know, I was encouraged when I was a student and didn't have much money to start now. Great to start good habits so that later on we have a little bit more. We're thinking, I'm giving myself to the work of the Lord. Some here will be maxed out on giving. That's great. Others here, perhaps there's one area that we're aware of that we want to give to, or an area that we want to increase our giving. Well, if that's us, then why don't we just have a few seconds now to commit that to the Lord? You say, I want to live for Jesus with all my resources. Let's just have a moment of prayer now. Prioritizing the work of the Lord with our wallets. Anyone remember what the other item was? Slightly more tenuous one, this, but I think you saw where I was going. Anyone remember? Relationships, yeah. So our phones, all about relationships. And so those church relationships are actually, Paul says, really key for making Jesus known, for getting behind the work of the Lord. So have a look down at verses 13 and 14. Paul says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be a man of courage, be strong, do everything in love. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Do everything in love. Kind of thing you might see on Instagram with some nice flowers around it or something, an inspirational slogan. But actually, what we've got to remember is that the Corinthians were not doing everything in love. Remember we said they're divisive, they're proud, they don't like Paul, they're not committed to the work of the Lord. And actually, we know that for us, it's not easy. It's not easy doing everything in love. It sounds great. Of course, you know, if you go out onto the street and say, you know, doing everything in love, good idea, bad idea. Of course, we all agree. But it's hard, putting others before ourselves. Actually, it's a good question to ask ourselves in interactions with others at church or other Christians. Am I doing this in love? I find, as I wonder, at our sessions, you know, are we including everyone? Are all our comments that we make thinking, am I doing this in love, including others, getting behind the work of the Lord? Others in the church, perhaps it's passing on news. Are we always committed to passing on news if it's going to be helpful? Are we always committed to everything that we say being to help the other person and build them up and point them to Christ? See, that's one great way Paul gives us of making Jesus known, loving relationships at church. Imagine the non-Christian looking in, seeing, see how they love one another. This group of people are different. They do everything in love. And actually, the first kind of concrete church relationship that Paul mentions is a little bit surprising, maybe. He talks about church leaders. Have a look down at verses 15 to 16. Paul writes, "You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they've devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these and to everyone who joins in the work and labours at it." They seem to be some kind of church leaders, these guys, Stephanas and his household. The Corinthians are told to submit to them. And actually, do you see, they worked really, really hard for the Corinthians. They poured themselves out. They did loads for them, working really hard for the work of the Lord. So I guess, guys of us at Pathfinder age, you know, if you have a really, really good teacher, who really loves you and really pours themselves out for you, you see they just work so hard and they really are committed to you, well, of course, we know we're going to be more likely to get behind them. It's just the way things work. My cousin made a comment about teachers. I don't know what you make of this. She said that teaching, if you kind of aren't really bothered and don't really try, it's fairly easy. You can kind of get the holidays and just turn up to sort of let the kids mess around or whatever. If you give yourself to it, it's one of the hardest jobs in the world. You're pouring yourself out for these kids. I don't know what you make of that. But you see the idea. Pouring ourselves out for others in love just means that we're more likely to get behind them. And that's what Paul's saying here. He says, these guys, they are for you. So get behind them, support them. Well, I wonder, is that how we see our church leaders? Do we see them as those to submit to, those that deserve recognition, verse 18? Pathfinders, if Nicola's prepared a session, do we praise God for her, for the work that she's put in? Do we thank her for devoting herself to our service? The rest of us, do we praise God for Dave, his love for us, laboring away, writing sermons for us week by week, putting us first? Do we support him in what he does? Do we try and make his job as easy as possible? Do we pray for him? Do we submit to him as someone that's committed to that great work of making Jesus known? It's great, actually, often to hear in prayers that people are thanking God for our leaders. But it's good to be proactive. How can we get behind them, get behind the work of the Lord? It's pretty extensive, covers a lot of the way that we relate to each other. Good to think about how love can filter down into every single relationship that we have with other people in church, with others, with our leaders, with everyone. Our relationships are not about me. They're about Jesus, about making him known. So God wants us to prioritize that great work of making Jesus known with our wallets and with our relationships in church. And he's got some final reminders that are going to help them to do this. I wonder if you noticed them. His final words at the end of the chapter, verses 21 to 24. He says, "I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be upon him. Come, O Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus." Amen. Pretty hard-hitting, isn't it? Paul does not hold back. Why? Well, he knows that there are those in the church that do not love Jesus and are causing harm to others. He's got to warn them. He's got to say, guys, you can't carry on like this. There are two ways to live. Either we look to Jesus, we look to all he's done for us, and we respond in love. Or we don't love him, and we are under a curse of God's judgment. It's very stark. It's a hard warning that we need to hear if we don't love Jesus. And yet there is a final encouragement in verse 23. I wonder if you noticed it. "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you." Pretty normal way for Paul to finish a letter, a bit like saying, kind of, "Hope you're doing well, lots and lots of love, see you soon, love, Paul." Just kind of in lots of his letters, that's how he finishes it. But it's absolutely packed full of things that are going to help us to know how this is actually possible to commit ourselves with all that we are to that great work of making Jesus known. The grace of the Lord Jesus, that self-giving love. That grace that led Jesus out of that eternal hug of love with his Father, down to this messed up world, to messed up people like you and me, the grace of the Lord Jesus that led him to live a perfect life and die a death that he didn't deserve in our place. The grace of Jesus that punched through the brick wall of death and said, do you want to come with me? The grace of Jesus that offers us resurrection bodies, resurrection hope, as we've been hearing these last few weeks. Amazing hope for eternity. The grace of the Lord Jesus. That's how Jesus has loved us, if we belong to him. And that is what we are to be thinking about. If we're going to be giving ourselves to this work, we're not going to do it if we don't think it's really worthwhile. If I don't really think that Jesus is all that great, then I'm not going to give myself to serving him. But if I see that he has loved me like no one else has, then I will give myself, falteringly. I'll grow and give myself to the work of the Lord. So you've got to take seriously the warning. Perhaps that's something. Perhaps some of us here today, he wouldn't say we follow Jesus. That is a serious warning to think about. If we live for self, with all that we have, if we have no love for Jesus, only love for ourselves, then we will be cursed. But if we know Jesus' love, if we know the resurrection hope that he's given us, and if we love Jesus back, then we will be able to prioritize this great work of making Jesus known. Our money and our relationships, they're not going to serve me. There'll be ways of showing people that Jesus is awesome, giving ourselves to the work of the Lord. What an awesome privilege. I'm going to pray now. And after I've prayed, if Pathfinders follow me through, we're going to go out that door, around the corner, and head through for a quiz the preacher session. But first, let me pray. Oh, Father God, we find these things hard. Naturally, we just want to hold on to all those things that you've given us, our money, our time, our relationships with others. Please help us, Father. Help us to see again the glory of the Lord Jesus, how wonderful he is, that hope that we have of eternity with him. Help us to be refreshed by knowing how wonderful he is, so that we're able to give ourselves fully to that great work of making Jesus known with our money and with our relationships. Please help us all, Father, to see a concrete way that we might be able to do this week. In Jesus' name, amen.